Sure and Partners, Andrew Kelleher, welcome to Tuesday.
Yeah, good morning, Mike.
Yeah, Takeuchi, they loved it, loved it, loved it.
Yes, the hurly-burly in financial markets that's characterised 2026 so far has continued last week, doesn't it? Mike, we don't often talk about Japan, and we certainly don't talk about Japanese politics very often, do we? But the election over the weekend and the election and the outcome do have potentially material market implications. So, as has been well reported, Sanae Takeuchi won in a landslide. So the LDP secured, as you just mentioned, a two-thirds supermajority in the lower house, which is the biggest, most comprehensive victory anybody's had since the Second World War. Now, I'm not an expert on Japanese politics, but my understanding is this makes it very easy to pass legislation. And I think in some circumstances, they can actually just go ahead and overrule the upper house because of this two-thirds majority. So it has a very strong mandate to push policies through. And you may recall when Takeuchi was appointed as PM, all the talk was of this Takeuchi trade with the expected fiscal stimulus being good for the economy. And of course, this, what can only be described as a stunning election victory, has brought that trade back into focus. So it's seen as being a positive for the Japanese share market, but, and this is a big but, potentially problematic for the Japanese bond market, because you've got high levels of government debt in Japan, and how do you pay for the fiscal stimulus but by potentially issuing more bonds? It also creates potential volatility in the Japanese yen, which flows into the US dollar, because you've got a weaker yen, you have a potentially stronger US dollar. So the Japanese bond market got the jitters in January, had a sharp rise in Japanese long bond yields. That did sort of destabilize briefly global bond markets, and the Americans got a bit worried. They said, well, if your rates are pushing up, it's going to push our interest rates up as well. The outcome that we saw yet in trading yesterday was the share market really cheered the victory, got a big lift in the Nikkei index. It was up over 4% at one stage, what we call the topics index, the broader index, that was up over 2%. The concern really centered around the bond market and dollar yen, and actually, Mike, the outcome here was relatively controlled trading. So at the moment, it looks like the bond market and dollar yen are taking it in their stride. Questions do remain, though, over term, and I think we have to call a watching brief on this one over the course of the week.
She's certainly fascinating. Now, what do you make of the LNG play?
Oh, big news, wasn't it, this yesterday? So the government shortlisted these various proposals for the import terminal, which will allow us to import LNG, which has been problematic because the local supply is dwindling. All these proposals are Taranaki-based, which will or has the potential to provide a bit of a boost to Taranaki. That's not really been talked about a lot, but New Plymouth has obviously been knocked around by changes in, you know, exploration, oil and gas policy over time. So I think they will be cheering this. I think, Mike, you've talked about this. The contracting decision targeted for mid-2026. And moving pretty quickly here, isn't it, if you have the facilities going to be ready in 2027. And forgive my cynicism, 2027, early 2028, the gas that's imported will then have to be stored, so you need storage facility as well. You've got a fixed cost component here. You need bucks to build the terminal. I'm not sure I completely understand how the whole funding mechanism works yet. The plan at the moment is that fixed rate cost is going to be recouped by a levy on electricity, and this should be helpful in mitigating the potential risk of a dry year, which we don't need to explain. When we don't get enough rain, it reduces the ability of hydro to get us through the winter. The thing is, Mike, that risk does create a premium that's built into the forward pricing for electricity. The thinking here is that the future price will fall because some of that risk will now be mitigated by having access to stored gas. It's 10 megawatts an hour lower on that wholesale price due to having access to the facility. And of course, spiking power prices have been problematic for industrial users. It also might potentially set a ceiling for winter pricing. But I think what has been missed here a little bit is it creates some certainty for the electricity market. It's an ambitious plan, Mike, speedy execution. I do think we need a bit more detail and a few more facts before we can make a final call.
Well, fortunately, we've got a couple of people on that after 7 o'clock. That's why we're here. Now, what are the numbers?
So the Dow Jones has been bouncing around, but it's pretty stable. It was the star of last week. It's down 32 points, 50,084. The S&P 500 up 0.65%, 45.6977, and the NASDAQ has bounced up 1.20%, 280 points, 23,307. The FTSE 100 overnight stable, up 12 points, 10,382. The Nikkei, as I said, it was up 2,110 points, 3.89% at the close, 56,363. The Shanghai Composite also enjoyed a rise, 1.4%, 58.4123. The Aussies yesterday had a big bounce back from a weak market last week, up 1.85%, 161 points, 8870, and we did, well, basically we did nothing. We're up 23 points, 0.02%, 13,446. Kiwi 0.6045 against the US, 0.8532 Aussie, 0.5081 euro, 0.4424 against the pound, 94.36 Japanese yen. Gold is back over 5,000, well and truly 5,074. And Brent crude, unfortunately, has gone up $69.08.
You have a fabulous day. Andrew Kelleher from Shaw and Partners.